Welcome to Crown of Life Baptist Church.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade,
saints and angels storm.
Good morning, Central Indiana. You're listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church, currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel Noblesville. We invite you to join our Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock, preparing hearts to embrace God's word and desiring his coming kingdom. God is calling sinners to the cross, and he is calling believers to the crown. Enjoy today's program with Pastor Greg DeZula. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life.
The Lord Jesus Christ commands the New Testament church to go into all the world and make disciples. In Mark 16:15, Jesus said to his disciples, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." The Great Commission in the book of Matthew says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." There is a huge distinction between a mere believer in Christ and one who becomes a disciple of our Lord. Remember that Jesus Christ loves you, but he does not want his children to ignore nor despise his commandments. Enjoy this wonderful series of messages entitled "The Cost of Being a Disciple," and learn what the distinction is between a mere believer and a follower of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Hear us here on Freedom 95 every Sunday morning at 7:30 a.m., and join us this morning at 10 a.m. at the Cambria Hotel in Noblesville, Hamilton Hall Conference Room, exit 210 off of I-69, or find us on Facebook, YouTube, or our website under Crown of Life Baptist Church. email me at gdezula@gmail.com. That's gdezula, G-D-Z-U-L-A. I look forward to hearing from you soon. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. This is part one.
Now, we're going to see the importance and the difference of being a disciple and being just a believer. There is a distinction between being a disciple and being a believer. A disciple is a learner, a scholar, one who receives or professes to receive instruction from another, such as the disciples of Plato. A follower and adherent to the doctrines of another, hence the constant attendance of Christ, were called his disciples. And that's no Webster's 1828 dictionary definition of the word disciple. A disciple of Christ is a believer who ascends to the next level of faithfulness. A follower of Christ is an adherent to the Lord's commandments. A disciple is one who divorces himself or herself from the affairs of this world in order to gain the imperishable rewards in the world to come. It says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17, "Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate." That's a key part. That was what we talked about, consecration and the return of Christ. That's what we've talked about, sanctification in many of our messages. But being separate, separate yourselves, saith the Lord, touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Touch not the unclean thing. The Israelites in the Old Testament, it was very specific on what the priests could touch and not touch. They were holy. The priests were to be holy. In the New Testament, you are part of the royal priesthood. You are priests unto God. We believe in the priesthood of the believer. You don't have to go through a priest today to reach out to Jesus. You go boldly before the throne of grace. The veil has been parted. It has been torn. And you go straight to the high priest, to the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe in the priesthood of the believers. Men who stand in the pulpit today are not to be called priests. Pastors, bishops, elders, but not priests. They're not priests. A priest is an intercessory between man and God. A prophet is an intercessory between God and man. Basically, the Lord uses prophets to intercede with man. Man uses a priest to intercede with God, Old Testament, but it's different in the New Testament. And so we are to be like the priest. So if you're reading Old Testament, studying the Old Testament, you have to understand what they're talking to about to the old priesthood, the Levitical priest, specific Aaron, who was the high priest. There was distinct responsibilities and important things about them staying separate from certain things. What it is in the New Testament, spiritual things, staying away from spiritual things that defile. The food laws of the Old Testament, they don't apply to us. The kosher laws, they don't apply to us. There's much wisdom in it. There's much wisdom. It'll help your cholesterol. I love shellfish. The Jews in the Old Testament didn't eat shellfish. Some of you love catfish, but if it doesn't have scales, you're not supposed to eat it. We all love our bacon, don't we? We all love our bacon. I doubt there's a soul in this room who doesn't love their bacon. But we would be all the better without it for our cholesterol and our hearts and the plaque on our arteries. But we love that bacon. But there are certain things that we do need to say separated from. It's defilement the Lord does not want us to be involved in. It says here in John 15, verse 19 through 20, if ye were of the world would love his own, but because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If ye have kept my sayings, if they have kept my sayings, they will keep your sayings. They will keep your sayings. So that is the separation, the separating in the world. We have to distinguish, well, what is the world? What is the world? Well, the world it envelopes a lot of things. We are to be in the world, but not of the world, the Bible tells us. We're not to be creatures of the world. In my life, going out to nightclubs, going out to the bar, drinking alcohol, it was a part of my life. When I got saved, the Lord made it clear to me I was not to go back there. Let me give you an example. Some of you may have heard this before or not. But I was meeting some of my unsaved buddies in New York after I got saved. I was going to go just to a nightclub, meet them at somewhere in New York City. And, you know, just to go see my old friends, you know, I figured I'll just get a water or, you know, tonic water or club soda or, you know, whatever, orange juice. But I wouldn't drink any alcohol because I had made it a definite thing that I need to stop. But I'm driving and I'm going east to New York City, and my stomach started hurting me. You know, just an uncomfortable feeling in my gut. And I'm going through the tunnel and into New York City, and I parked the car, and you know, I just, man, my stomach is really bothering me. You know, it's just kind of uncomfortable. And so I find the nightclub. And when you go and park in New York City, now first I went in the tunnel, you know, you're paying close to $10. It's over $10 today. Then you're going into New York City to park, okay? I mean, that's over $20 to park. You think downtown is expensive. New York City is three times worse. And I get into this nightclub, and I order a tonic water with a lime or something like that. I don't know what it, but, you know, something non-alcoholic. And I'm meeting my friends, and, you know, my friends, you know, they're professional people, but just met them in this nightclub. And, man, I'm like, I could barely stand up straight. I'm like starting to double over. I'm in so much pain. And I drink a little of that, and I just put that down. I told my friend, I don't feel well. I got back into my car. By the time I got to the other end of the Lincoln Tunnel, and into New Jersey, that pain went away instantly. Gone. Gone. And the Lord told me, the Lord was telling me, stay away. You don't need to meet your buddies in the bar anymore. And so I remember talking to the Lord in the car. Okay, Lord, I understand. I'm not going to go there anymore. So there's a separation, separating yourselves from the world. I had to separate myself from multitudes of friends. I got saved late in life. I had to separate myself from a multitude of friends. The things of old changed drastically in my life. Charles Spurgeon said regarding the life of a disciple, a separated life, a life regulated by other affections than those which arise from the relationships of flesh and blood, a life of walking in the unseen, in which God's command, presence, and approval are paramount considerations. It is a life in which faith guides the soul, sitting like a pilot at the helm of the vessel. Abram denied the flesh, took up the cross, went out of the camp, became sanctified unto the Lord, and lived and died the friend of God and a stranger among men. So talking about Abraham, when he came out of Ur of the Chaldees and came and just basically he was a nomad. He lived in tents, came into the promised land. He obeyed God and lived and died a friend of God, and God blessed him. And you are spiritual descendants of Abraham. Spiritual descendants through his blood, through the blood of his seed, the Lord Jesus Christ. You are a child of Abraham. The disciple of Christ is a follower, not just a believer. The Bible tells us, and a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said unto him, follow me, and let the dead bury their dead. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. Follow me, let the dead bury the dead. Basically, this disciple wanted to go home, and when his father died, he would come and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. His father wasn't dead. It doesn't say that his father was dead, but he wanted to go and wait until his father did die, and then he would bury him. But Jesus says, follow me and let the dead bury their dead. And when he was entered into the ship, his disciples followed him. There's hard words and hard things that the Lord wants us to do as a disciple. That's why it's a different elevation, a different tier of a believer. There is responsible living for the disciple that is above and beyond just believing. The Holy Spirit reveals to the Apostle John that there are those who believe but do not profess Christ for fear of persecution. Hear that. We see this in John. There are those who believe but do not profess Christ for fear of persecution. They fail to follow out of fear. Key passage here, John 12. Among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Now, some would say, oh, these were professors, but not possessors. But the Bible tells us they didn't profess. They didn't publicly profess. They were not true believers. No, I've told you this before. The Holy Spirit revealed it to John because there was no way John would know that there were believers in that synagogue unless the Holy Spirit revealed it to John and he penned those words. They're not maybe believers. They're not, well, they're not true believers. It doesn't say that. It says many believed on him. Many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praises of men more than the praise of God. How many people are saved but don't profess it when they go to work because they don't want to be mocked, ridiculed? How many are saved and don't go and tell their buddies at the Moose Lodge because they are afraid they're going to be ridiculed and mocked? How many go out to the bars with their buddies or coworkers and don't tell them they're saved because they don't want to be mocked? So they wanted to stay in their fashionable synagogue. They didn't want to walk out and be an outcast. They didn't want to be say goodbye and wave goodbye to their friends who would ridicule them and possibly even turn on them and persecute them. The Holy Spirit reveals in the above passage that they believed, but they did not follow Christ. They were believers, but were not disciples. Had they been disciples, they would have left the synagogue, not fearing man's opinion, man's mockery, or worse, man's persecution. A disciple's course of action as a believer determines if he or she confesses Christ or not. If the disciple is not willing to suffer for the cause of Christ, he will be denied at the day of judgment. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. Paul is talking about himself. Paul is writing the book of Timothy, 2 Timothy here. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, that's speaking of Paul, who saved, a saved man, he also will deny us. He's talking to believers, denying him. Titus here tells us we can deny him in our actions, not just by our lips. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient and unto every good work reprobate. A believer can be that way. So there are multitude of believers who haven't entered and will not enter a church at all today. And most likely they will not enter a church for the rest of the year. But they are a believer. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient and unto every good work reprobates. You cannot use works to determine if a person is a believer or not. You can use works to determine if they're a disciple or not. You can see their works and say they must be a disciple and a follower of Christ. But you can't use works because there's only one who knows who actually believes, because it's by faith. So it's something that you can't see. You can't see it because it's a spiritual thing that has taken place in that person's life that only God knows. There is the necessity for the disciple to continue in the words of Christ. A powerful passage here. As he spake these words, Jesus is preaching here, many believed on him. Doesn't say some, it says many. It doesn't say true or not true, believed on him. It says many believed on him. Then Jesus said to those Jews, he knew instantly. He knew instantly. And Paul is being guided by the Holy Spirit to pen these words. He knew instantly. Then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him. Only the Holy Spirit had to guide John to know Jesus is speaking to those who believed on him. It says, if ye continue in my word, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Then are ye my disciples indeed. Do you hear that? That there's a line between those who believe and those who become disciples. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You have to understand the law of sin, where we preached on the last time I was here, that I preached sin and sins, the law of sin is always warring with the law of Christ. And the narrative never changes in John chapter 8 right here. And by the end of John chapter 8, those who believed upon him were about to stone him at the end of the chapter because they were provoked. They became offended as Jesus continued to preach. They became offended and they couldn't handle the rest of what Jesus had to preach.
You've been listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church. Join us every Sunday morning here on Freedom 95 at 7:30 and Sunday service at 10 a.m. Currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel, 13500 Tegler Drive, Noblesville, where you will hear the hard-hitting truths found in the Word of God, unabashedly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and His coming kingdom from the inerrant and infallible King James Bible, the true voice of freedom. Please join us again next week, in person and right here on Freedom 95.